bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life.
What an amazing thing it is to worship the Lord. He certainly is great, certainly is worthy of our praise as we exalt Him. I'm glad you're here and able to join us in this time of worship. For you that are joining us online, welcome, and we're glad you're here as well. So, good morning. I delight you are joining us here. I'm delighted that we can share this experience of worship, and I must admit that gathering together with the family of God is a meaningful experience. We come together to encourage each other in the faith. We come together to lift each other up in our prayers. while turning to the Word of God for guidance and direction for our lives. This morning, we're going to continue in our journey of answering the question of who and what is God. We will turn again to the Old Testament, and we'll be continuing our study in the names of God. And by studying these names of God, we are gaining a better understanding of God's nature, of God's character, of God's attributes. In today's message, we're going to focus on the fourth secondary name used for God that is associated with Jehovah Yahweh. To refresh our memory, the primary name Jehovah Yahweh is used more than 6,300 times in the Old Testament. Over 300 times it is translated as God. It's spelled in all capital letters. And it's translated more than 6,000 times and spelled with all capital letters in relationship to Lord in order for us to distinguish it from the name Elohim or Adonai. In the setting the stage for today's message, I want to remind you of just some of the characteristics that we saw about Jehovah Yahweh as we studied the name today. First, the name Jehovah Yahweh emphasizes that God is self-existent and that He is eternally God. The Bible teaches us the Lord Jehovah Yahweh has no beginning and has no end, that the Lord God is in need of no one and nothing for His existence. Psalms 102 verses 24 through 27 say this, "I say, O God, do not take me away from the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you founded the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand. Even though they will perish, but you endure, and all of them will wear out like garments, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not come to an end." So God is eternal. He is self-existent. Second, the name Jehovah Yahweh emphasizes the holiness of God. He is holy and righteous. Leviticus 11, 44 and 45 say, "For I am the Lord Jehovah, your God, Elohim. Consecrate yourself, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. And you shall not make for yourselves unclean with any swarming things that swarm on the earth. For I am the Lord Jehovah, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God, Elohim. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy." And then third, the name Jehovah Yahweh emphasizes that God in His holiness hates sin, but loves sinners and seeks to rescue them. Because of our sin nature, humanity has been left in a precarious and dangerous situation before a holy and righteous God. Humanity was under the just condemnation of holy God due to sin. The Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And the Bible tells us, "There is none righteous, no, not one," Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. And because God is holy, He cannot leave sin unpunished. Therefore, we read in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Therefore, because of our sin nature, we rightly deserve eternal separation from God. This left us all, each and every one of us, in a helpless and a hopeless situation before a holy and righteous God. None of us can boast that we are perfect. None of us can say that we have done it right all the time. None of us can say that we are perfect and without sin. But praise be to God. His Word reveals to us an amazing and wonderful and awesome truth. Jehovah our Lord, Ephesians 2, 4 through 9, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, but not as a result of works, so that no man may boast." Salvation, the gift of God. Yes, the name Jehovah Yahweh reminds us that God is self-existent. It reminds us that Jehovah Yahweh is eternal, reminds us that Jehovah Yahweh is holy and righteous, and reminds us that Jehovah Yahweh is must judge sin, but he loves and rescues sinner. Now today, with this overview of Jehovah Yahweh firmly fixed in our mind, we want to look at a compound name for God, Jehovah Rah, R-A-A-H, Jehovah Rah. And we want to discover what the name means when we say Jehovah the Holy Righteous One, Jehovah Rah. Well, the Hebrew term Rah, as associated with the name Jehovah Yahweh, enlarges the idea of the Lord's love and passion for his people. For not only does the Lord love sinners and seeks to rescue them from eternal death, which, by the way, that in itself is amazing and wonderful, but the Lord also cares personally for his people as sheep. Jehovah Rah is translated, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Now, the primary name behind Rah is that of pastoring. It is that of leading and feeding sheep. It is that of shepherding and caring for a flock and looking out for their needs while protecting them from predators that seek to destroy them. Therefore, the name Jehovah Rah emphasizes the fact that not only does God rescue sinners from the penalty of their sin, but in rescuing sinners from their sin, the Lord also then cares for them as his sheep. Jehovah Rah, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, the Lord is my shepherd reminds us that God is dedicated to his people. God is dedicated to his children. Jesus, as the good shepherd, loves his sheep. He leads them, he feeds them, he protects them. The name Jehovah Rah carries the idea of God having a watchful eye upon his children, and that he is loyal and faithful in caring for their needs. Now, when I think of God as our shepherd and being under his watchful eye, it brings to my mind how a loving parent looks out for the best interest of their children. Parents look out for the best interest of their children by seeking to teach their children the difference between right and wrong, as delineated in the Word of God, the place of absolute truth. The loving and concerned parent seeks to guide their child in making moral and ethical decisions which honor the Lord and brings blessing to their child's life. At other times, the loving and concerned parent must discipline their child for wrong behavior. Or the loving and concerned parent might reward their child, encouraging them in a good behavior that they have. Looking out for the best interests of a child means to care for their spiritual needs, their emotional needs, and their physical needs, because we all know that one day in regard to the children that the devil is going to come along and want to steal their attention away and to turn their loyalty away from God. The loving parent seeks to help their child to learn how to equip their child with the armor of God and to teach their child how to be skilled at walking in the Spirit so as to always be filled with the Holy Spirit of truth. This is how a parent shepherds their child. Now, bringing the conversation back to the Heavenly Father, who, by the way, the Bible tells us is our Abba Father. And combining that idea of Abba Father with Jesus, my shepherd, my Jehovah Rah, we begin to understand that the Lord is our shepherding Father, the Holy One who cares for a sheep and protects them from his enemy. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, we became a child of God. One of the benefits of salvation and birth in God's family is the Lord became our shepherd. Not only did he become your heavenly Father, but he became your shepherd. Therefore, we each one who know Jesus can say, Jesus is my Savior. And we can also say, Jesus is my shepherd. Thus, the bottom line is, because Jesus is my Savior who loves me, he also engages in shepherding me. Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5 say, Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations. This psalm is a psalm that confesses and that exalts the greatness of our God, the greatness of our shepherd. It is a psalm that contains few verses when you compare it to Psalms 119. But this psalm and its very few verses communicate to us a great and awesome thought, a great and awesome idea about the Lord. I don't think you can read this psalm without feeling a spiritual surge in your spirit and a sense of joy over the protecting hand of God in your life. The psalm, by its very nature and character, takes the soul that is stressed and disturbed by the circumstances of life and gives to the child of God a cleansing breath, so that he or she might gain a clearer perspective on life again. That none of us walk alone. None of us walk by ourselves. We are all always in the presence of our shepherd, who is keeping a watchful care over us and has us in his hands. Isn't this a wonderful thing to know? That in the turmoil and commotion of today's challenges and threats, that the Lord is my shepherd. Let's keep our eyes and our mind on those things above and not on the things that are below. How appropriate it is, in light of the difficulties that our culture faces today, that the apostle exhorts his people in Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on the things that are on earth. See, we can get awfully discouraged if we focus on the things of earth, wouldn't you agree? Looking at the circumstances, watching the TV can be a very discouraging thing. But we are called to focus on the Lord, our shepherd. We are called to focus on the one who is our protector and provider and keeper. We are to keep our eyes on the one who causes us to lie down in green pastures and quenches our thirst from the living waters. In Psalms 102, 1 and 2, we learn that God is our shepherd and that we have reason to celebrate, to be glad in our hearts and to sing joyful song. We are not alone. Our shepherd has watch care over us, and nothing gets to us without first going through him. And so we can count on the fact that our shepherd has our back. Therefore, we know that whatever trial we face, whatever temptation challenges, or whatever hardship seeks to crush us, God has us in his hands. God cares for us, and he will never, never let us go. In Psalms 100, verse 3, we learn that our shepherd is our creator. He made us, and therefore he is intimately acquainted with our spiritual whining harness. Why? Because he's the one that created it. He understands our strengths, and he knows about our weaknesses. He knows about our victories, and he knows about our defeats. And he knows how to lead us to his pasture of goodness and rest. Psalms 100, verse 4, we learn that our shepherd has a pen, and that pen that he hosts his sheep in has a gate, and he opens that gate to let us into his pen. And as he protects us in that pen, he keeps the evil one out. The shepherd has a courtyard whereby he brings comfort and protection to us. Our good shepherd leads us into his courtyard, and we can enter in with thanksgiving and praise as we bless his name, for we are in his courtyard of safety. We are in his courtyard of protection. Psalms 100 verse 5, we learn that our shepherd Jehovah Ra is good to us, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Church, God's loving kindness is forever. God's faithfulness is to every generation. Our shepherd's loving kindness and faithfulness, it never runs out. It never runs dry. His supply of loving kindness and faithfulness is never exhausted. That's why we can sing a hallelujah today, is because God's loving kindness and faithfulness is to us always. One of the most visible and quoted passages known to both the believer and non-believer concerning the fact that God is our shepherd is Psalm 23. In times of stress and strain, in times of difficulty and hardship, threat and fear, and in the times of mourning death, Psalms 23 is a go-to passage for people who seek comfort. Now, for those of us who trust Christ as Savior, the Lord is truly our shepherd. And Psalms 23 brings a message of spiritual hope and comfort to the believer. Psalms 23, 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, the author of this psalm is King David, and he uses the analogy of the Lord being my shepherd. And something that I want you to notice in this is that David, when he says the Lord is my shepherd, he is saying something different than the Lord is the shepherd of the nation of Israel, and certainly God was that. But David is saying something much more personal. He's saying the Lord is my shepherd. Individually, the Lord is my shepherd. The emphasis of the passage is King David is saying the Lord is not only the shepherd of the flock, but he is also the shepherd of the individual sheep. God cares for us individually, and he works in our lives individually. Thus, the Lord is not just the Lord of the church, which he is, but he is also the shepherd of each saint. When individual victories happen in our lives, man, the Lord rejoices with us as individuals. When we stumble in sin, God, as our shepherd, disciplines us, convicting us of sin, teaching us a better way, and helps us to grow in spiritual strength to prepare us and to make us ready for the next spiritual battle. Our shepherd is individual, and he's personal, and he is so, so good to us individually. As I thought about King David writing this psalm, he writes not only the place from superiority, the king who oversees the nation of Israel, but he also writes this passage from the perspective of humility, the humility of having been a shepherd himself, the perspective of humility where he, as a shepherd, has been called to be a king. Remember, it was God who took the experiences of a shepherd boy to slay Goliath, the champion of the Philistines. Who would have thought such a thing could happen? Certainly the Philistine army didn't believe it could happen. The nation of Israel had plenty of doubt that it could happen. Goliath, who called David a ruddy youth, didn't believe it could happen. But David, because of his shepherding experience, because of his knowledge of God's presence, he knew it could happen. And he stood before the enemy, before the giant, and took him down. Thus, David, before he was acquainted with all the responsibilities of being a king, he first learned how to care for a sheep. And in Psalms 23, we find the reflection of how David understood God's care for him in light of the things that David learned out in the field shepherding his sheep. He knew as a shepherd that a shepherd loves his sheep because he'd experienced that. He knew as a shepherd that the shepherd was dedicated and loyal to his sheep because he had experienced that. In light of the love and dedication to the sheep, David was able to see God through the eyes of a shepherd as being one who is concerned with each lamb, with each sheep. And he was concerned with not just the welfare of the flock, but he was concerned with the individual sheep. David, as shepherd, was not only acquainted with the responsibilities and dedication required to care for the sheep, but David also learned the personality of each of the sheep. Sheep, I have read, are basically helpless creatures who cannot survive long without a caretaker or a shepherd. Sheep need protection and care. Sheep, I have been told, do not have good eyesight, and they don't hear very well either. Physically, sheep are slow animals, not likely to outrun or avoid an aggressive predator. They do not fly, so they are prime meal targets for wolves and bears and lions. Sheep do not have camouflaging skills, and practically speaking, sheep have no real defensive weapons at their possession. They don't have claws or sharpened hooves or powerful jaws by which to protect themselves. Therefore, sheep are basically defenseless, and they are in need of a protecting shepherd. They are in need of one to care for their needs, as they cannot protect themselves from the dangerous predators. The sheep are led by the shepherd to green pastures and springs of living water, while the shepherd is on guard from anything that can harm the sheep. Therefore, when David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," he is speaking from an experiential knowledge of what relationship he had with the sheep and now what relationship God has with his people. He is speaking from firsthand knowledge of what a shepherd does and what a shepherd is. And he was well aware of the character and the nature of sheep. God used David's time in the field with the sheep to prepare him to walk well with his shepherd and to prepare him well to be the king. And though David stumbled in life, King David never lost sight of Jehovah Ra, "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, the Hebrew term Ra is translated as shepherd in this passage, but the term by extension also carries the meaning of friend or companion. So you might say, "The Lord is my friend. The Lord is my companion. The Lord is my friend. The Lord is my companion." And indeed, what a friend we have in Jesus. How sweet to know we have a friend and a companion in the Lord who is our shepherd. In other words, the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is a personal one. They're not just a herd or a flock or an animal out there that is unknown to the shepherd. But there is a friendship and companionship that exists between the two. The shepherd uses his authority and power to care for the sheep. Many times in our human culture, we find that those in authority and power are ruthless with the power that they have. They use their authority and power over people, abusing them and seeking to put them in their place under their iron grip. In contrast, the Lord is our shepherd. He is kind. He is generous. He is loving. He is caring. He is protective. He is a friend. He is a companion. The Lord leads his sheep. He doesn't drive his sheep. Now, the thought of a man or a woman calling God a friend and a companion, as implied by the word translator, shepherd, Jehovah Ra, may seem like a real wild and crazy idea. I mean, who would be so bold enough to say, I'm a friend of God, I'm a companion of God? But such a thought is not a wild idea. It's not a boastful or brag on the part of a person that he or she is a friend of God. You see, listen to the word of God. The Lord Jesus, after sharing the parable of the vines and the branches in John 15, he says, no longer do I call you slaves, for slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jehovah Ra, the friend of sinners, the companion of sinners, and he is our Savior, my Savior, your Savior. Not just looking out for the best interest of the flock, but looking out for your best interest as well. We know that Jesus' disciples were not perfect men. Each of them brought their own flaws and weakness of character to the ministry. However, the friend of sinners, Jehovah Ra, the shepherd, loved his flock. He loved them each individually, and in spite of their shortcomings, Jesus was their friend. Worked with his disciples, trained his disciples, taught his disciples, empowered them, and released them into ministry under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. As I considered this thought of Jesus being the friend and companion of sinners, I asked myself, what does Jesus being the friend and companion of sinners really look like? I mean, what does it mean that Jehovah Ra is my shepherd, that he is my friend, that he is my companion? So I paused and I reflected back on how the name Jehovah Ra is supported by some of the other compound names that we looked at in relationship to God. As we look at Psalms 23, verse 2, I see Jehovah Jireh there. He is the Lord who provides. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet water. In verse 3, I see Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. In verse 4, we see Jehovah Roi, the Lord who sees me and cares for me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In verse 5, a name that we haven't studied, but we will next week, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. You have prepared before me in the presence of my enemies. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Verse 6, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So let me close with this thought. The Lord is my shepherd. This phrase I have read can also be translated, the Lord who shepherds me. Now, the Lord is my shepherd is the noun form. The Lord who shepherds me is a verb. The beautiful thing about the thought of God shepherding me, it means that he is active in what he's doing. He is active and present in what he's doing. He is active in watching over me. It's not like God looked over me at one point in time, and now he's not watching over me anymore. God is watching over you today. He is active in guiding and caring and protecting for you today. He is active in growing us up from being little lambs to maturing us into sheep. He is active when we stray. He leaves the 99 to find the one, and he comes to bring us back to his loving care. He is active in our lives. When Jesus made the purchase of our soul on the cross, redeeming us as his child, he did not leave us as our own, on our own, but he became the active shepherd of our heart and soul. So the question is, who is your shepherd? Can you say with David, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd? Our shepherd Jesus taught us in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for me. He laid down his life for you. The question that then comes is, in what Jesus did in laying down his life for us, have you received the gift of eternal life? Have you entered in to the fold of God? Can you say today, because Jesus is your Savior, that he is also your shepherd? Have you declared him to be your Savior? In that way, he becomes your shepherd. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy and how wonderful and beautiful it is.